with support from the Climate Kick Alumni Association. Welcome to The Elephant. I'm Kim Caners.
Human species has been around for about 200,000 years, and we've now reached a point where we have to make a decision as to whether the species is going to survive in anything like its current form of organization. There has never been a decision like that posed to humans before.
We're risking the very future of our species, is how my guest today, Noam Chomsky, puts it, when it comes to the threat of climate change. And he pins the blame for the fact that we're racing over the precipice with seemingly little concern, squarely on the rich and the powerful, and the peculiar institutional systems we've set up of politics and economics, where short-term profits somehow trump considerations for the future livability of our planet.
The institutional requirement of short-term profit-making evidently overwhelms concern for whether your grandchildren are going to have a chance for a decent existence. I don't know exactly what word to use for that. I'm not sure rationality is quite strong enough.
Noam Chomsky is perhaps the world's best-known dissident and public intellectual. And at 87 years old, and after three quarters of a century of speaking out against all forms of inequality, state repression, and violence, he hasn't lost any of his outspokenness.
All we can talk about is building pipelines. It's a sign of a social and political system that is so sick that it cannot face obvious issues and deal with them sensibly.
A few months ago on this program, I played another conversation I had with Noam Chomsky, one that I had recorded for a previous radio project. And in that conversation, we spoke about what activism could do in the fight against climate change. But given that he's been one of the world's most important thinkers and political voices, and how brilliantly he explains the institutional framework that lays behind understanding our current system and the woes it produces, when I had the opportunity to talk to him again, specifically for The Elephant, I leapt at the chance.
Noam, on here in a minute, okay?
Okay, thank you. So here's my conversation recorded last week with Noam Chomsky.
Hi.
Hi, Noam. How are you?
I
reached him at his office at MIT by Skype. Well, Noam Chomsky, thanks so much for joining me. You've recently said in a few different places that we're at an astonishing moment in human history. I was wondering if you could just explain briefly why you think that's the case.
Why it is an astonishing moment in human history?
Yeah.
Well, human species has been around for about 200,000 years. And up until this point, people have made decisions about their lives, their immediate futures, and so on. But we've now reached a point where we have to make a decision as to whether the species is going to survive in anything like its current form of organization and social systems. There are basically two fundamental questions. One is the question of nuclear war, which we know by now. We know by now that if there were a nuclear war between, say, two major powers, they would both be destroyed, and so would everything else. And we've been on the verge of that repeatedly for 70 years, and the threat is increasing again. So that's one decision. The other decision has to be made right now, even though the consequences will be several decades, maybe even a few generations away, and that has to do with climate change. If we do not make decisive steps right now, then we can be fairly confident that within a pretty short time, maybe decades, maybe more, there will be irreversible and catastrophic consequences. There has never been a decision like that posed to humans before. Incidentally, we have already made the decision inadvertently for a huge number of species other than humans. So the destruction of species today as a result very substantially of anthropogenic climate warming, is about on the order of what's called the fifth extinction, 65 million years ago, when an asteroid, huge asteroid, hit the Earth. That's presumed to be the reason for the relatively sudden extinction of dinosaurs, end of the age of dinosaurs, opening of the way for small mammals, which ultimately evolved into us, and now we are playing the role of the asteroid. So we've already decided that for millions of huge numbers of species, we've decided they're going to become extinct. And we now have to make a similar decision about ourselves. It won't be extinction, but it might be catastrophic consequences.
You know, one thing that always occurs to me when I hear you talk about the environmental crisis is how irrational it all is, or how irrational our collective behavior is. You point out that it's the rich and powerful and the existing power systems that are pushing us towards this precipice. But even they will suffer the consequences if there's a climate disruption. Their grandchildren will suffer. You know, they own land in Manhattan and Miami. The rich own estates in, you know, Long Island. So what do you think accounts for this seemingly completely irrational behavior?
It's a pretty striking phenomenon. So take a look at the presidential primaries that are underway in the United States. As I mentioned, there are these two huge problems. The first one, nuclear war, is barely mentioned in either primary. Few comments on it. On the Republican side, there's just a commitment to greater militarization. The Democrats, also the same, but not quite to that extent. But the issue and the rising crisis and the almost miraculous escape for the last 70 years just isn't mentioned. Take climate change. On the Republican side, it's mentioned. It's denied. Every Republican candidate, with the single exception, Kasich, simply denies that it's happening. Kasich is worse. He's supposed to be the reasonable one. He says, sure, it's happening, but let's not do anything about it. I think that's even worse than denying it. So that's 100% on the Republican side saying, let's race to the precipice as quickly as possible. And this is not academic. It's already had an impact, significant impact. So a couple of days ago, there was a signing of the United Nations of the agreement reached in Paris last December, international agreement to restrict carbon dioxide emissions. But notice that the agreement was not a treaty. The intention was to have a verifiable treaty agreement that countries would commit themselves to live up to with penalties if they don't. Couldn't be done. And there was one simple reason: the Republican Congress. It would simply not accept a treaty. So as a result, the Paris Agreement had to be a voluntary agreement, which means it's much weaker. And if, suppose Donald Trump, or in fact any other Republican, were to win the election, and assuming they mean what they say, they would be essentially telling the world, don't do anything, doesn't matter. Build as many coal plants as you like, because it's not happening anyway. I mean, if you want to talk about irrationality, it's pretty hard to go beyond this. There are more focused cases that we can look at. So, for example, it's now known that the scientists at ExxonMobil decades ago made it very clear to management that use of fossil fuels is going to have lethal, catastrophic effects. And they simply concealed it, in fact, lied about it. They organized major propaganda campaigns to convince people that it's not happening. And as you say, they have grandchildren. But the institutional requirement of short-term profit-making evidently overwhelms concern for whether your grandchildren are going to have a chance for a decent existence. I don't know exactly what word to use for that. I'm not sure rationality is quite strong enough. It's really...